Hi folks, welcome to our daily teaching video. My name is Graham. I'm a Brit who loves Jesus. Somebody who loves Jesus and a Brit. Actually, I need to stop saying that. I'm now an American. I'm half American, half British. I'm married to a French lady. I'm about to get French citizenship as well. So I'm connecting with my inner Jason Bourne, I like to say. So it is great to have you here today. Hey, in a moment, I'm going to continue my daily teaching about the soul and what God wants to do with our soul. A couple of practicals. If you're new here, why not hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel there. Give the bell symbol a long press. And lastly, check out some of the links below. I've got many different things going on in my ministry. If you are in the New England part of the United States and you're interested in visiting one of our churches, we'd love to connect there. I believe it would be a blessing. Everybody needs to be part of a Spirit-filled church. You know, I say that to everybody. Don't be one of the lost puppies. Yeah. Go into an occasional Bible study isn't enough. Don't go into conferences isn't enough. You need to be in a church where faith is preached, where we worship in the Spirit, where the gifts of the Spirit flow, where it's normal to see prophecy, healing, tongues, word of knowledge. Not once in a blue moon, but every week. And where it's not just the pastor who does these things as well, where everybody can learn to do the works of Jesus. Boom. So much more I could say there. Hey, lastly, let me mention that I do have an email newsletter I send out usually on Saturday mornings. And we'd love to send you that out. No charge for that. I just share what's going on in my life. Books I'm reading, video links, upcoming events, things in our churches, just thoughts about walking with Jesus. So if you're interested in signing up for that, we have a 3-hour audio teaching on the secret place we'd love to give you as a gift when you sign up for that. So check out the link below and we'll get that into your inbox. Good. Well, if you've got a Bible today, I want to quote a few verses. Maybe I'll turn to them. It's almost, I can quote so many verses, I sometimes don't turn to them, but it's good to turn to them. It's interesting, I've learned probably thousands, literally, of verses that I can quote. And yet, whenever I turn them, I begin reading the few verses before and the few verses afterwards. Can I give you a really great tip as well? This is free, okay? But one of the greatest keys I know to reading your Bible is reading your Bible. It's not thinking about it. It's not having the intention to start soon. If I went to the average Christian today and say, like, tell me about your relationship with reading God's Word, with the Bible, here's what I know from experience and also by the Lord showing me that most Christians aren't going to read their Bible today, but they intend to tomorrow. They have this idea that today I'm really busy and I can't quite fit it in, but tomorrow I'm going to have this ideal day where I go and sit in a log cabin somewhere and go to Starbucks and read my Bible for an hour and then throw. My point is just read it. Just begin. Read one verse a day, read two if you can, read a chapter if you can, read five if you can, just begin. And don't get some crazy convoluted plan, but just begin reading God's Word. God's Word is sacramental. It's life-giving. You know, there are things we do as Christians, sacraments, if you will. When we take the communion, the bread and the wine, I don't believe it physically changes into Jesus, but it is life-giving. It's sacramental. When we worship, there's something going on there that is more than singing a song. It's sacramental. We receive life from it. You know, I've said this for many years for people as well, that there's something about coming to church, being in the room with God's people when the Word of God is read or when preaching happens. The Word of God is sacramental as well. It gives life. It is, and Jesus said in John 6:63, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And here's my last thought as well. I really want to jump into my subject today. But when you read the Bible, try reading it out loud sometime. I know that can sound silly. Sometimes it's only preachers who read the Bible out loud. But when you read it out loud, your own mouth forms words that came from another dimension that didn't come from planet Earth. Really. Think about that one. Your mouth is speaking the words, of eternal life. Do you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 and they came back the next day, Jesus for king, Jesus for president? And Jesus said, like, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And the people went, okay, Phyllis, we need to go. This is an X-rated sermon. Take the kids, cover their ears. We're not doing cannibalism here. And then the only disciples were left. And then the disciples came to Jesus, and Jesus said, are you going to leave me also? And I can just see Peter. Peter's like, well, I'd like to, but where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And when you and I literally speak the words from heaven, it is life-giving. We speak them in our own ears, hear our own mouth speak them. It's transformational. Well, I've spent half my time just introducing that today. So, hey, let me give you a few quick thoughts. I want to wrap up for this week, and we're going to continue next week talking about the soul. So I want to read a couple of verses from 2 Peter. Let's read verse 3 through verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Excuse me, I'm reading the wrong book here. I want to read 2 Peter, but I was enjoying 1 Peter so much. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read verse 2 through verse 4. I need my coffee. 2 Peter 1, 2 to 4 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue reading, but we're talking about our soul. What do our soul need? You know, in nearly all of Paul's writing, he begins and sometimes ends by saying, grace and peace be upon you, grace and peace. I love it here. Paul talks about grace and peace being multiplied. Would you like more of God's grace, more of God's peace? Grace is not the permission to stay where you are, but the power to change. If you're struggling with something today in your soul, you're struggling with, and that's really where addictions or habits or hang-ups take place. They're not in the spirit and they're not really in our body. Your body is like a car and your soul is like the driver. You may think your body is out of line. You may think your body has an exercise problem, a sexual addiction problem, an alcohol problem, a laziness problem, what have you. No, it's your soul. Your body has no nature of itself. It's the soul that these things happen in. And how do you transform yourself? It's all by grace. So again, as we've said all week long, the challenge is to bring into our soul that which we have already in the spirit through the finished works of Jesus. So grace and peace. How will we get more grace and peace? They're multiplied to us. How? Through the knowledge of God. This is the knowledge of God. The word of God is the knowledge of God. Next verse says, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. Again, let's think through these words. Our spirit's already living in the glory, living in the virtue. Our spirit's arrived in, our spirit's in heaven right now, glorious. But we have a call. We've been called to glory. We've been called to virtue, to purity, to holiness. And Peter's saying here, God's divine power is already, not will give, not if you beg, pray, if you're good bunnies, but his divine power is already given us all things that pertain, all things relevant to life and godliness. How has he given them unto us? Again, through the knowledge of him. My pen there. Through the knowledge of him, we already have these things. What does the next verse say? By which have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you become a partaker of the divine nature, and by the great and precious promises you escape the corruption that is in the world through lust or evil desires. So Peter's saying here, by these great and precious promises, we become a partaker of the divine nature, and we escape the corruption, the rotting, if you will. Look at like rust, you know, the corruption, the entropy, the second law, the world is falling apart. Most people's souls are falling apart. And how do we, you are a partaker of God's nature in heavenly places. Amen? Your spirit is a new creation, like Jesus. But how does our soul become a new creation soul? Again, we're going to talk about this more in the coming days, but through these great and precious promises. You know, I can probably give you about 15 verses that say that very, very thing all throughout the New Testament. John 17:17, Jesus prays that great prayer for his disciples and those who will come to know him through them. So that's you and I. And in John 17, 17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Literally says that. John 17, Lord, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The word of God sanctifies us. Now, we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. But our souls become sanctified through the word of God, by these exceeding great and precious promises. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, having these promises, let us sanctify ourselves. So God's given us these promises, but not that we would pray, Lord, sanctify me. God doesn't so much sanctify us. The world doesn't sanctify us. I mean, it is God who sanctifies us, but God sanctifies us when we believe in the sanctifying promises of Jesus. God heals us, but God heals us when we put our faith in the promises of God that tell us what he accomplished on the cross. And God sanctifies us through these promises. Yeah? Ephesians 5 says, what does Ephesians 5 say? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might wash her and cleanse her and sanctify her with the washing of water by the word. Jesus is coming back for a glorious bride, a bride of glory, a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Well, how will that happen? Will it be just before he comes, he sort of zaps us and we all get transformed into this glorious bride? No. In heavenly places, we're already a glorious bride, but he's coming back for a bride that's been sanctified and washed with the water of the word. Again, I've got to finish today. I'm out of time, but we're going to talk about how we practically do that in the coming days. But I want you to realize God's promises sanctify you. They bring into your soul that which you have in the spirit. Boom. Selah. Guys, again, thank you so much for watching. Do check out some of my links below, the churches we have, different websites, and our ministry school, lots of great things there. And sign up for that email newsletter, and we will get that into your inbox. Again, thank you for watching, and we bless you guys in Jesus' name. Amen.